All right, Ephesians chapter 6 in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6, and was going to preach to you the Divine Commands of Marriage part 5, and but we'll preach that tonight to you, and we're going to preach the first part of this series, Divine Instructions for the Children, amen, and instructions for the children, and amen. Yep, that's right. All right, Ephesians chapter 6 in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Let's pray. Father, please help us now, guide us and direct us, Lord. Use this message, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Listen, we've been preaching through a series on the home, and I trust that you've been listening and paying attention and learning some things. If you're not married, that's okay. Someday you want to be married, amen? And you're going to want to understand these things and have the proper structure and order of the home. It's amazing as you get older. Sometimes when you get married, if you're really young when you get married, you don't understand some things. There's some men that you talk to that are not, they're clearly you're not ready to be married. I mean, as if you can be ready at that point. But it's understandable that some men have not matured enough and they get married and they're just, the home is just a wreck because of it. The marriage is a wreck because of it. We've seen that before many times. You've counseled me where men just don't grow up. Well, it's nice to be able to have this understanding from Scripture and to prepare your children and your young people for this. Amen? But we've been preaching through a series. We've talked about the biblical husband, the biblical wife, the biblical lady. We looked at the biblical man and a biblical husband. We looked at divine commands for the husband and the wife. We even looked at the divine order of the sexes and the divine judgment from God that came. The reason we say divine and we use that is because it all comes from God. It is all teachings straight from God Almighty to teach you what you need to do, how to prepare yourself, and what God expects from you. It's important to understand that. Now, children, now listen, parents, there's a responsibility on you as well with this, in this command given to the children. You'll understand that. But the first thing we notice here is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, authority means a lot to God Almighty, young people. You must understand that young, old, wherever, whatever position you're in, we are all in subjection to someone. Amen? The husband is in subjection to God as the pastor of the church. The husband is a member of the church, is subjection to the church as well, and the pastoral leadership as well, not over his family and the direct function of that, but in essence of an answer to God. Amen? He must answer to God for what he does, and the man of God on earth here in the form of the local church is an accountability for him as well. And the man of God is accountable to the church for his actions as well as the Lord. But understand this, authority means something. We live in a day and age where authority is being destroyed. God's order is not followed or obeyed, and our homes are reaping the results of it today. Because it's all out of whack, the order is all messed up. We must teach our children obedience. We must. Listen, folks, they come with a sin nature, not an obedient one. Are you listening to me? Your children come with a sin nature. They are sinners by nature and sinners by choice. But they are sinners. Listen, a sign of this antichrist times and the end times we live in is this. For men, 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. It's a sign of the antichrist. And the spirit of Antichrist, for disobedience in the heart of a child is the sign of Antichrist. It is the sign of that. It is a sign of the end times. They will be disobedient to parents. Not just a normal disobedience, but rebellion will swell in the heart of that child. Amen. Children should never want to identify with the end times apostasy of disobedience to their own parents. You should never want to identify with this rebellious world that we live in. This is a rebellious, awful world that we live in. Amen. Right. It is truly the spirit of Antichrist. Why do Christians want to identify with the world so much? Why do they want their children to identify with the world so much? Why are they so scared to say, no, we're not doing that? Because so-and-so will think this. Man, would you just get over that whole junior high thing and not care what people think? You know, I say things that make people mad all the time, and I know it. I preach things that make people mad all the time, but if you think it's going to stop me from preaching, you got nothing coming. It won't ever stop me from preaching it. I'll never shut my mouth until my head's cut off. I'm not giving you any ideas, but... Amen? But they cut John's off, so... One sign of the times is that they shall be disobedient to their parents. I mean a rebellious disobedience. A spirit that springs up. Children should never want that. They should never want to identify with that. Do you think it's an amazing thing that the world attracts your children? Why? It attracts you and I. Why do you think it's so amazing that it attracts your children? And I know I'm going to say something that sounds kind of mean, but why are we so stupid in that we allow that? We're all guilty of it. But we allow, we don't guard them enough. We don't protect them enough. Amen? We're all guilty of it. We are. I get convicted about it all the time. Children that practice disobedience to their parents are acting like Antichrist in nature. But we'll talk about that a little later in the sermon. Children are commanded to obey their parents in the Lord. We see now more than ever this spirit of disobedience, though, in our times. We see it. It is evident and prevalent in our sight. You go to the store. Now listen, our kids disobey in church. What do? We have to take them out. We have to correct them. We bring them back. We take them out. We correct them. We bring them back. Hey, Ben, it happens. Can I share something with you? That doesn't mean that you're not a good parent because your children disobey. You'd be a bad parent if you didn't do anything about it. Children are going to disobey. Why? Because they're taught obedience. They don't know it. They know disobedience, lawlessness, and no discernment. It is your responsibility to instill those things into them. So I get a kick out of people, and I'm so sick and tired of it, and it makes me really mad. So please don't come up to me and tell me how bad somebody's kids are, or how bad their teenagers are and everything else, because I don't blame those teenagers, and I don't blame those kids, I blame their parents. I'm so sick, man, this kid is just, he's just terrible, he does this, he does this, he does that, he's rebellious, he says this, he says that, he just... What are you blaming the kid for? That's the way he was raised! But you want to sit around and blame the kid for it. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good way to fix the problem. Let's just blame the kid. Because kid raised himself. He's like, oh, I raised myself, so it's my fault. Well, sure, I'm not saying that their actions aren't their fault. What I'm saying is that kids will do what you allow them to do. And more, right? So who's the real fault? You and I as parents are the fault. You see a teenager go the way they do and they say the things they do and they run their mouth? It's because nobody told them to shut their mouth and held them accountable for their actions. Amen? But no, it's the kid's fault. Just like it's the church's fault. Just like it's the youth director's fault. Not if you don't have one. But just like it's everybody else's fault. It's always everybody else's fault. Well, you know what I decided? No, as painful as it is, my children are my fault. What they do is my fault. Hey, Ben. You know, that's called being a man. Accepting blame. You know, when I was a young salesman, a young manager, when I was 19 years old, I was managing these offices for a company and for the vacuum cleaner company. And I had they would move me to one, the sales would go up to 100%, they'd move me around to different, I would be all around everywhere. And the area vice president would call me on the phone And he would say, he had a southern accent, and he would say to me, he would say, I would say to him, well, I said, well, such and such didn't happen because of this. He's like, you know, I don't care about what your excuse is. I only care about the results. He said, if you don't take blame for what you've done, then you can't fix it. He taught me at 19 years old that if I don't take blame for what's going on, I can't fix it. So parents, look up at me, please. If you don't take blame and take responsibility, you can't fix it. You're depending on somebody else to fix it. Now, depend on God, but do your part. That's for all of us. Hey, if the person next to you is sleeping, slap them. Well, not very hard, but just wake them up. Amen? Anyway. Number two, understand that obedience is not just mechanical, but it should be from the heart. Do you understand that? It should be from the heart. Yeah, make sure your children aren't sleeping, the ones that are old enough to understand this. Make sure they're sitting up awake and sitting up straight. If you can't sit up straight, then do some jumping jacks or something, but wake up. You need to listen to this. Amen? You need it. If you don't like it, you've got a rebellious heart. So you can repent of that. That's okay. You can get right with God. He's plenty merciful when you come in repentance. Amen? You don't need to have that poopy look on your face. You just need to get right with God. Now, number two, understand that obedience is not just mechanical, but it's from the heart in the Lord. And trust me, stare downs don't bother me none. Believe me, I've had plenty of them. I've looked 300-pound men in the face, and look at me like a grizzly bear. It didn't bother me at all. So you looking at me funny don't bother me one bit at all. Not one bit. I've had them growl in my face and want to rip my face off. So a little bit of bad look from a lady don't bother me at all. And anyway, number one, children are to obey their parents outwardly and inwardly. Outwardly and inwardly. Young people, the spirit of your obedience matters to God Almighty. He is not just saying, obey them in a mechanical fashion. No, it is obedience from the heart that God desires. And if you look at your children, parents, please listen to this. If you understand and you look at them and you see that, yes, they're obeying me like the robot, but their heart is wicked and I can see it on their face. They have a rebellious spirit. Okay, yes, sir. And they have that attitude that is a wrong attitude. They are being rebellious. They have not obeyed the spirit of your command. My goodness, wake up and understand that. I'm just as guilty of it as you are. I understand that. I've seen it, my son, the way he has responded to me sometimes. I say, no, 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 that's the wrong spirit. His mother catches it and says, no. That's not right. Nope, you didn't obey me. No, you followed in an outward obedience, but inwardly you didn't. Come on. Are you starting to understand something? And listen, I'm going to say something again. Okay. Here's the danger that fundamentalism has taught us. Follow just the outward obedience structure. Wear the right uniform, wear the right clothes, walk the right walk, talk the right talk. But if your heart is desperately wicked above all things, hey, don't worry about it. You got it all down. You got the uniform down. You got the dress on. You got everything. You're just fine. And our children are going to hell because we don't read the Bible and study it and see for ourselves. Come on. Don't get mad, just prove me wrong. Go to the scriptures and prove what I'm saying is wrong. In a spirit of obedience matters to God Almighty. And you may obey in an outward fashion, but inwardly your heart may be as ravenous and wicked as a wolf. And we are commanded to receive, to get our children. My son, give me thine heart. My goodness, will you get back to understand that before your kids die and go to hell? Understand, we've lost a generation after generation after generation because it's not a heartfelt obedience and love for God. It's not. It's an outward showing and it means nothing. You haven't seen what I've seen. You haven't seen people want to die and hate their life because they're lost and they were raised up in churches their whole life. Listen, folks, I'm not playing into their hypocrisy. I refuse to play by the rules of their game any longer. My mouth will not be shut. I will stand up and proclaim this book and the hypocrisy that they live by. I'm tired of it. I'm tired. Our families are too important. You love your family? Then listen to what I'm saying. Listen to the Word of God. It is the spirit of obedience that you're trying to capture with your children, not just the mechanical obedience. It's the spirit of obedience. Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh. Catch this. Are you listening? Not with eye service. Wait a minute. What does he mean by that? Not just an outward eye service of obedience. Well, in front of me they can see me, but in my heart I hate your guts for telling me what to do. I hate you so bad for you telling me what to do. See that? Not with eye service. He's saying, don't just do it because they're watching you. And here's my outward obedience. See, I obeyed you. Oh, no, you didn't. You didn't obey the spirit of the command. You know, your relationship with God is the same way. See, God, I did what you wanted me to do. What about your spirit? Did you obey the spirit of the command? I'm just curious. Young people, do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want you to answer me. I'm just saying in your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. Parents, do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. Listen. Prove this wrong. You that are here today have grown up with people. And you wondered, I grew up the same way. I went to the same church. I went to the same activities. I went to the same college. I labored with them. Why have they run away from God? And why don't they want anything to do with God anymore? Why are they living their lives like that? Why are they in sin? Why are they going to ecumenical churches? Why are they doing all these things? Because they had the mechanical form down because it was pushed on them. But the parents never made sure they had the heart of that child. They never had the spirit of obedience. Just the eye service. Does that make sense? Man, I hope it does. I really hope it does. Your obedience in the Lord is not just towards your parents, young people, but with a singleness of heart. Look at the verse. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Your motivation is not just to please man with eye service in front of everybody to see it. But what does it say? But in singleness of heart. Are you with me? Singleness of heart. Fearing God. Did you catch that? What does that mean? Singleness of heart. Fearing God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. What's right? Well, we'll get to that. What that right means when it says that. But what he's saying is it ought to be with singleness of heart in pleasing my Father in heaven. Because I want to please God. Not because I'm just obeying my parents. I should want to please my parents. But I want to please God. And I'll show you why that's important for you young people to understand that. Listen to me, please. For you to understand that now. It's going to matter when we get to the next part. You truly show your respect for God and when you obey your parents in heart with a good spirit and not with a rebellious hardness of heart. Because if you just obey your parents outwardly and disobey them inwardly with a bitter heart, you are disobeying God Almighty. Do you understand that you can follow the command outwardly but disobey inwardly and have a bitterness of heart towards your parents and towards God? Do you understand that? How many of you, if you had to confess that today, that when you were growing up, your parents tried to raise you right and you got a little rebellious? in heart. They didn't see your actions. You followed in actions, but you were not following in spirit. You understand that? So then can I ask you a question? Upon the authority of Scripture, were you obeying really? No. You weren't. Why? Because you weren't obeying from the heart. With a single heart toward God. Bet you never seen that when you look at children obey your parents. I didn't either until God showed me. This doesn't come from me, folks. I don't have any of this vast, incredible knowledge from within here. It comes from the Holy Ghost of God. God instructs. I'm not smart enough. I know that. He gives it to me. It's of God. I understand it comes directly from God. I don't claim anything. Amen? Nothing. Parents, know when you have a hard heart or a rebellious child. Parents, they know it. They can see whether your heart is hard. Teenagers, young people, whatever you want to call yourselves. It's all Darwinian. But anyway, whatever you want to call yourselves, young people, listen. Let me explain something to you. It's not hard. Oh, by the way, church members, can I share this with you too? It's not hard for me to see whether your heart is hardened. I mean, you do understand that, right? You do understand when a preacher hears, when he's preaching the Bible, he understands whether your heart is hard or not. He can see it pretty much. It's pretty evident. It kind of shows up on your face. And whether you really want to obey the spirit of the command and whether you understand it or not, it's pretty easy to see. It's not hard to see. And guess what? Nobody has to tell you or inform you. You say, how do you know that? Well, I don't know. When you look at your children, and the Bible says that you're children of the flock of God. You're of the flock of God. Well, when you look at your children, is it hard for you to tell whether they want to be obedient or not to you when you're instructing them, or whether they have a hard heart? Is it hard for you to see that? It isn't, is it? You know it right away. I don't have to tell you to know that it's true. Amen? I can see it. Just like you can when you instruct your children. Your words and your expressions and your actions show, young people, whether you have a rebellious spirit or not. So what do you mean? Well, when you give that look like, I'm only obeying you right now because I have to, but someday I won't have to and I'm going to do what I want. Sound familiar? Young people, sound familiar? I'm under my parents' authority right now. Hey, would you wake up and quit living in Disneyland for a minute? Do you understand? I'm under my parents' authority right now, and I understand that I'm going to be able to get out from underneath that one day. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's nothing more than the spirit of Antichrist is all that is. Same spirit Eve got a hold of. Same spirit of Nimrod trying to run the world against God. Same spirit all the way down through. No different. Same spirit. If your children show rebellion, but still follow what you say, they are still disobeying you in spirit, and you should correct them for that and instruct them in righteousness. You understand that? You should not allow them to be rebellious in spirit when you see it. Amen? Why? Well, because you're not teaching them anything. You're not teaching them obedience. Make sense? You're not teaching them obedience to have a bad spirit and then disobey. You're not teaching them obedience. I'm sorry, did you think that wasn't your responsibility to teach your children? Do you think they already come like that? They come out of the box already with directions and it's perfect. The directions are in the Word of God, but they come out of the box and they're just perfect and you just program them, you just hit a few buttons and they'll do what you tell them to do. No, it didn't work that way. Amen? Children must obey. They should not be allowed to show rebellion while going through the motions of obedience. They should not be allowed to do that. Children must obey the spirit of the commands if they want to be obedient to God and not begrudge the leadership that God has placed over them. They should not. They should not be allowed to begrudge the leadership, to hate it, to show animosity towards it, to show anger towards the leadership. boys, girls, whatever age they are, should not be allowed to show disrespect to their mother. Amen. It's wicked. It's rebellious. It's antichrist. Come on. I'm trying, brother, but it's quiet. Furthermore, next it says, obey your parents in all things. This means not just when it's pleasant to do, that's easy, but when it's hard to do. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your own masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Remember when I told you that it was important that you had a singleness of heart and obedience? Remember when I told you that? I said it was going to be important for the next part. Young people, look up at me, listen. Here's why it's important. Because your parents are going to be dead wrong sometimes. Amen? Your parents are going to be wrong sometimes. They're going to wrongly judge something. They're going to wrongly judge you. They're going to correct you when maybe you didn't need the correction. They're going to mess up. They're going to sin. They're going to make some mistakes. They're going to be angry with you and handle a situation wrongly. The Bible says that you must have a singleness of heart towards God, and the reason why is because you are serving, you are obeying a flawed being. In that of your parents of that are fallible. But you are doing it towards an infallible God. See why it makes sense now? See why that singleness of heart is important? Because your parents are sinners. Amen? I know sometimes they don't come to you and ask for forgiveness when they wrong you so you don't think they're sinners. They don't think they're sinners. But they are sinners. I'm not putting down your parents. I'm saying parents should go to their children when they wrong them and ask them to forgive them. Why? Well, how are they going to learn obedience, repentance, and confession of sins if you don't do it when you wrong them? Many times I've had to sit down and say, oh, son, daughter, I'm sorry. Daddy shouldn't have said that. Daddy shouldn't have done it that way. Daddy was wrong for doing that. You forgive me? Yeah, I forgive you. And then they look at me and say, you shouldn't have done that, Dad. I was like, ouch. Especially it's bad when a 3-year-old says it to you. You shouldn't have done that, Dad. Usually it's my son that says, you shouldn't have done that, Dad. You were wrong. Then he says, you lied. No, I didn't lie, son. He always, right now he thinks everything's a lie for some reason. When it's something wrong, it's a lie. No, it's not a lie, son. I just did it wrong. You're a liar, Dad. No. But he just explains, no, Dad, you were wrong. Yeah, you're right. I was wrong. The froward means the perverse, or it means the wrong. It says not only to the good, but the gentle, but also the froward. Your parents, you say, it's easy to obey. My parents are gentle and nice and kind and always rightly divide things. Are you listening to me, young people? When they obey, when they do what's right, and they're nice and they're not mean, they don't come across with ready to bite your head off, and you were right and they did things right. Yeah, I know it's easy to obey like that, but it's harder to obey when they're froward, when they're wrong. When they've messed up. But remember I told you that singleness of heart is important? That's why. Because you're not doing it towards a sinner as much as you're doing it towards God. And this is the direct authority line that God has given you. And you're obeying God when you're obeying them. Amen? You see? You understand that? Same thing goes with a husband and wife many times. A wife will be like, oh, man, I don't think he's right about this. That doesn't mean that you have the right to disobey him. You understand that? Let me give you another one. Just because you followed your husband in an outward mechanical obedience does not mean you have in spirit. You're being rebellious of heart. Not accepting the decision that he made. Albeit you may think it's a wrong one. But you don't have the right to make that decision. Just like your children. How would it be if your children disagreed with your, well, I don't think you're right about that, Mom and Dad, so I think I'm going to do my own thing. Or in their heart, they show that disgust, or they fight and they bicker and they fight against your commands. What does that do? It's rebellion. It's rebellion against God's order. You understand that? It's rebellion against God's order. Even if they're godly parents or being godly or not being godly, you're still to obey them. That doesn't mean you're to do wickedly. It just means that sometimes your parents will be wrong and they'll punish the wrong child. They'll make the wrong mistake. They'll make a mistake. They'll sin. They'll do things they shouldn't do. Why? Because they're fallible, that's why. That'd be nice if they'd admit it to you that they're fallible. It really helps your growth when they do. Amen? Also, parents, it also keeps a soft spirit with your child. When you're wrong, you don't act like a tyrannical bully and you don't admit it to them. That makes a hard heart out of a child. But if you'll come to them and plead, they'll forgive you. Sometimes your parents will get angry, they'll correct you wrongly, or be harsh to you. You're to obey them in the Lord. I like what John Gill says. He says, in all things, not in things sinful, which are contrary to the law of God and the gospel of Christ, in things repugnant to the duties of religion, the ordinances of the gospel, and the doctrines of Christ, parents are to be neglected and disobeyed. He's saying, you know, if they ask you to deny your God, you know, obviously. God is to be regarded and not men, but in all things good and lawful, and in all things that are of an indifferent nature, which may or may not be done, in these things the will of earthly parents is to be attended to. Your parents are going to mess up. Even though they do, it's still required by God. Do you have a singleness of heart and an obedience from the heart toward God through your parents? Amen? Are you listening? Two reasons are shown. Next, two reasons are shown to us in these texts why we should obey. Number one, because this is right. What does that mean, this is right? This right means the order is right in the sight of God's eyes. This is right. This is orderly. This is the order that God has set down. God laid down an order long ago in the Garden of Eden. He laid down a divine order of the sexes. When He created them, He expected Adam and Eve's obedience in all things. God set the order of the family down. He set up the institution and the structure of the family. The structure and the order we find in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. We see that. Husbands, love your wives. The husband is the head of the wife. Amen? That's God's order. Children are to obey their parents. Husbands are to love their wives and be not bitter against them. Amen? Fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath. But grow them up in the nurture and the admonition, but raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. This is God's order. He says, this is right. This is the right order. For you to obey your parents is the right order that I set down. All of society depends on this order. Do you understand that? All of society depends on that. The structure of our world depends on that order being obeyed and followed. And when it hasn't been, and when that rebellion has been allowed, look what's happened. Have you not seen how the government has tried to take the right of the parents to raise their children? They've tried to take it. They've even said, listen, we'll educate your children. We'll take them away from you. We'll educate them. We'll show them what they need to know. Humanism. Antichrist. We'll take them away from your children. We'll take the children away from you. We'll teach them. We'll educate them. The state is now their mommy and daddy. Not while I'm alive. I know. Our good brethren would say, oh, I don't know why you have to make such a big deal about everything. Oh, I don't know, because God did.
Amen.
It's all about soul winning. How's that working out for you? How's your family doing? Just go soul winning, that'll fix everything. I've heard that before. I've also seen it in practice before. Also seen a few wives cheat on their husbands, walk away from them because they're not getting attention paid to them. I've seen some husbands stray against their wives in the name of soul winning. And I've seen some... I'm not against soul winning. I'm not against evangelism. I'm just saying I've watched it. I've watched it. Oh, it'll cover a multitude of sins. Well, you tried to get it to cover a whole multitude of sins. It doesn't cover neglect, folks. That's not what that scripture is saying. And it doesn't... Listen. What you're being taught from this Bible today is what you and I should have been taught long ago.
Amen.
And I feel cheated and robbed. But I thank God that I'm doing it from my children being 5 months old, 3 years old, and 6 years old. And not already raised. I learned a lot of good things from men along the way. And I don't discount anything they taught me. Amen? I learned good things from Pastor Clear. I learned good things from pastors of Pastor Johnson. I learned good things from tapes I listened to Dr. Hiles preach and other men of God and Lester Roloff and many other things. I learned a lot of good things, and I don't discount anything they taught me. Amen? But I'll tell you one thing. Where is the preaching on the home? The structure of the family. The responsibility of the father. Children to obey their parents. Understanding the spirit of obedience. Why? Because God laid down that He said this is right. He shows us that the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and that the father is the head of the home, and that the children are to be in subjection to their own parents, that the wife is to be a keeper at home, if the word of God be not blasphemed. That is God's order. And don't sit here and come up to me and tell me that, well, that order can't be followed today. Well, neither can your salvation. I'm sorry, you're going to hell. Can't be followed. That's not for this time. Well, then how can we believe any of it? Folks, the foundation of the family, the structure of the family was laid down by God. The church has no right to change the order of the family. It has no right to do that. I have no right to come into your home and tell you how to raise your children. I have a God-given authority from Scripture to preach the Word of God and to lay down the order from here. But what you do with your family is your decision to make. Whether you want to keep your family on the moon or you want to keep them in this service, that's your decision to make. That's not my decision. And I'll give you another one. Whether you want to send your wife to work or not, that's not my decision either. Do I agree with it? If you have children? No. I mean full time. You understand what I'm saying. Out of the home, not raising the children? No, I don't agree with it. But then again, it's none of my business. From your standpoint, from that, I'll preach it from here. But involve myself in your family? Ain't happening. Why? I don't have the authority to do it. Does that make sense to you? I'll give you another one. I don't have the authority to belittle the father in front of his children. I don't do that either. Or the mother. Nope. Why? God never gave it to me. obedience is in the Bible. You need to respect the proper government and the role of God. We're going to get into it, believe me. I'm excited because, man, I'll tell you what, we've got a full-packed year coming up of understanding the family structure, the government structure, the church's structure. I mean, I don't know how long we'll be on the family, but a long time. Because we need to embrace these truths. Would you understand that embracing these truths that you're being preached right here is not denying the other truth that you've learned? Would you understand that? It is adding to it. It is perfecting it. By the way, would you have me not do the calling that God has called me to? I am called to perfect the saints. Now that perfection is not always painless. Go stick some clay on a wheel and find out when you're molding that, it's not painless. Well, when the master makes you meet for his use, it's not painless. The preaching of God's word and conforming us to the image of Christ is not painless. So quit being a baby. Amen? It can be tough love sometimes, but don't ever mistake it for not being love. When you preach strong on things, there many people will say, oh, you must not love people. Yeah. Paul said something like that too. He said, have I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He said, the more I love you, the less I'm loved. Why did he say that? He's saying the more truth I give you, the more I share with you, the more I correct you, the less you love me. Amen? God set the order of the family down. Lucifer rebelled against God and usurped God's authority. Then Eve usurped God's authority by going around her husband. And then Adam usurped God's authority by eating the fruit and giving in to his wife. Down through time we can see what happens when we disobey God and His commands. He said this is right. Right what? The right order. It is the proper order that God laid down. I've seen some. Let me tell you something about order. I want to mention this to you. I've seen somewhere where some ladies will go to the pastor, and they don't like something the pastor says, so they're going to correct him. That would not be wise. Well, first of all, I wouldn't hear it, and not because I don't respect you and love you, because I do. It's that I respect and love your husband that I wouldn't do that. I would say, if you want to come with your husband and you want to yell at me, I mean, I'll listen. Please don't yell at me. But I mean, if you want to come with your husband and you both want to come and you want to talk, that's fine. I'll talk to you. Amen. I'm not going to yell at you. I'll wait till you leave and I'll yell at your husband. But you'll never hear me yell at your husband. Why? Because I respect him. And I would never belittle your husband in your eyes. Why? I don't believe in doing it. It's not scriptural. It's God's order. So I also don't believe in you coming to the pastor to correct him. Why? First of all, you're coming to a man, and don't take this the wrong way, but you're coming naked. Do you understand that? And I don't look into something perverse there. What I'm saying is you're coming without your covering. You're coming to correct the pastor. Now listen, if your husband's beating you and you come in, I need some help, that's another story. I'm not talking about that. You understand what I mean? I'm not talking about, hey, I'm in fear for my life. I'm not talking about that. Or help me type thing. I'm saying if you're coming to correct the pastor, you're coming without a covering. Lawfully, I have no right to say anything to you and you have no right to say anything to me. Amen? Does that make sense? I hope you understand what I mean by that. That's not in cases, again, of danger and other things. I've had to deal with some of that. You know, where somebody went nuts, their husband went nuts. And hey, go counsel them to be back with their husband. Oh, no. Yeah, nuts. Crazy. Seriously crazy. No. There's situations like that. But that's not one of them. God's order is important to God. This is right, he said. By sinful nature, man is rebellious and wicked. God's order for children is right in his eyes, and it is for children to obey their parents in all things. The second reason given is that it is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Obedience makes God happy. See, is God always happy? Well, yes, inherently in himself. God can never be different than what he is. He's holy, and that's pleasing to his sight. But it manifests the glory of his children. It manifests his glory in his children when we please him. Amen? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, he said. Amen? Don't you want to hear that from God? Listen, obedience makes God, it pleases God. God prizes man's obedience above any sacrifice you can offer him. Remember, that's obedience from the heart. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than that of the fat of rams. What was he saying? Your heart's wicked. You didn't obey me. What mean the bleating of these sheep in my ears? Saul, you didn't obey God. Well, yeah, but I got the sacrifice. I didn't ask you for a sacrifice. I asked for obedience. It's the spirit of obedience. We can give money and try to give time and everything else to God that we want to, but children, if you would please the Lord in all things, you must be obedient to Him. That goes for big children in the Lord too. You say, but Dad and Mom are not always fair or right. Yes, but your obedience is well-pleasing in God's sight. Wife, you may say, well, my husband's not always right. Well, you're right. He's not always right. But guess what? You're to obey your husband and the Lord, for this is right. And it's well-pleasing in God's sight. Well, I'm going to disobey my husband because I don't agree with his command. I don't agree with what he's doing. I don't agree with his leadership. So you're going to be rebellious? You say, yeah, I'm going to have a spirit of rebellion. So I'm going to sin that something good can come of it. Right? That's what we say. I'm going to sin so something good can come. Well, I don't agree with that, so I'm going to sin so something good can come. No, why don't you obey him and let God deal with him? If he's wrong, God will deal with him. But you're not to take your hand and to deal with it yourself. You've never been given that authority. Your obedience is to God and manifested when you obey them that God has placed over you. Sometimes we as children of God forget that we do that unto the Lord. Sometimes you don't like what the pastor says, the direction of the church maybe, the strong stand he takes on things. You may not like that. But the Bible is very clear to obey them and have the rule over you. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. And I'm not going to make perfect decisions all the time, I can guarantee you. Next, and lastly, what is the parent's responsibility in all this? What is your responsibility as parents? It is to teach the children obedience and hold them accountable for their disobedience, in spirit and in deed. No man or woman has ever been a productive member of any society that did not learn obedience at a young age. Children that do not obey their parents will not obey the laws of the land or the Bible or God Almighty or friends and neighbors and relatives. They won't obey anybody or anything. They'll not respect anything. Parents, you're responsible to train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means you correct and instruct in righteousness. You hold their feet to the fire when they disobey, in spirit and in deed. Mother, be sure that you submit to father. If you disobey, you're teaching your children to disobey. And they, oh, by the way, they can still sense your spirit too when they see whether you're just doing it to do it, but your spirit's wrong. They can see that too. It's pretty clear. Kids are pretty amazing. You might think they don't notice your rebellion, but they notice it. Fathers, make sure that you're leading your home and loving and honoring the mother. If you're not, then they'll see your usurpation of authority as well. They'll see that you're not following God's law and God's pattern and God's plan, and it'll discourage them. Teach them obedience by your obedience to God's book. Would you have an authority? Would you just please? You know, and I'm going to preach on this next week, so I'm not going to get into it. I don't have time for it. But listen, look up here at me. Listen to this. You know how many Christians live their life with no authority? They have no authority in their life. So they try to follow, at church they act one certain way and they follow some certain guide, but at home, they're like a bunch of wolves. And they devour and they bite each other and live wickedly, and then when they get pulled up to church door, oh hi. They've just been ripping each other apart to shreds. Kids are putting each other down. Don't let your kids put each other down like that. A little bit of joke, and I understand, but this constant putting each other down and at each other's throats, that just needs to be whipped out of them. Spanked, biblically. Whatever. They should not be allowed to do that to each other. Amen. I mean, I've been around teenagers, that's all they do is they fight with each other all the time. All the time fighting with each other, arguing with each other all the time. No. We don't talk to each other like that. We're not allowed to do that. Nope. Don't put up with it. Don't do it in front of them either. Again, I'm talking about having a little bit of fun. I'm talking about being hurtful and continuing that and having that spirit all the time. Have an authority in your life. Show them God's word is your authority and that you'll follow it no matter what. Amen? Don't bash the authority that's in your life. Wife, whether it's your husband, don't bash your husband around your children. Don't say where you disagree with your husband on something. Don't show a spirit of disobedience. Your spiritual authority is the Word of God first, and then the local church, the pastor. Don't bash the pastor in front of your children. You may say, hey, I disagree with this doctor, and I may disagree with this, but, you know, whatever the case may be. But don't destroy the authority that they have in their life, that you have in your life. Right? You want them one day, if they need, you know, they'll see. I've been around people like that they've bashed the pastor and they've bashed it. Their children, when they get in trouble or something like that, and I know it's bad parenting, but when they get into trouble or something, when they get older, they won't go to a man of God for advice. No. My parents already ruined them in my sight. So you've just taught them open rebellion. You can explain to your children doctrinal differences without destroying authority. And really, there isn't going to be too many doctrinal differences that you have. Otherwise, you're probably not in the right church if you're coming up with all the doctrinal differences all over the place. Or you're not right with God, one of the two. And you need to figure out what the Bible says and follow it. Amen? Teach them obedience by your obedience to God's book. Show them God's word is your authority. You will not follow. Show them you will not follow what is popular or a good idea or philosophy or psychology, but the word of God will rule your family and the local church will be the biblical spiritual body you will be a part of. Show them that. make it no nonsense to teach them the Bible. And says, it's the Bible, we'll obey it in all things. Don't question the Bible, just obey it. Teach them consequences for disobedience. Children, are you obeying? And is your motive to please the Lord in all things? Wives, are you submitting to husbands? Husbands, are you following the biblical order God's laid down and given the responsibilities? Are you obeying in spirit as well as in deed? Is the spirit of obedience there? Or is it done with a spirit of rebellion in a mechanical form for eye service? With heads bowed, eyes closed, I don't want anybody moving around. I want to ask you. How does it go with you? You need to get something right with God? With your husband, with your wife, children, you need to get something right with mom and dad? You need to get your heart right with God? It's between you and the Lord. But now's a good time as any to pray and get some things right with God. Have you submitted to God's rule and authority in your life? Rebellious spirit? Or a willing from the heart, a singleness of heart to the Lord? You need some prayer? Slip your hand up, pray for me. God did speak to my heart during that message. Please pray for me. I see those hands. Anybody else? Please pray for me. God did speak to my heart. You know, I can't see your heart and you can't see mine, and thank God you can't, because we'd all hate each other if we could. But the Holy Ghost can. He's a discerner of the heart. If you need to today, would you go home and get some things right? You can get it right with God right now. If you need to get something right with somebody else, would you get it right? Father, help us. You said, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. It's well-pleasing in your sight. Help us to obey in spirit, Lord, as well as deed. Please, God, forgive us, instruct us, help us, guide us, direct us, fill us with your Spirit, and bless our steps. Reveal unto us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.